Hello, and welcome to another Scientology Fair Game, the podcast. Hello, Mikey.
Hello, Lily.
So today, we're doing another listener Q&A.
Yes.
And why is that?
Because being slaves to our audience like we are, we do what they want.
Sure. We're martyrs.
People constantly are writing in more questions and saying, oh, we love the episodes where you answer our questions. So we are happy to oblige.
Yes. And thank you so much to all of you out there listening. Once again, how many episodes have we done roughly so far? About what?
40, in a little north of 40 at this
point. Well, and you guys are continuing to listen and continuing to support us and continuing to send in your questions. And we thank you from the bottom of our hearts. And so with that, we are going to answer some more listener questions. What's the first one you want to do, Mike?
Well, the first one on the list, Lauren.
Okay.
Do you think at some point the Sea Org will start encouraging pregnancy among members because their numbers are dwindling? And the absolute answer to this is no. That will never happen. The idea of children being born into the Sea Org was without any second thought, canceled by David Miscavige back in, I guess it was the mid to late 80s, because children that were born into the Sea Org had to be fed and cared for.
Right.
And this was
by Scientology, right?
Right. Yeah. By Sea Org, other Sea Org members. And this in Miscavige's mind was a burden and a distraction to the parents. So, He decreed that there were not going to be any more children in the Sea Org. And honestly, I am thankful about that.
Yeah, me too.
You know, I am very, very happy that there are no more children like my children who were born and raised in the Sea Org. But that doesn't mean that they still don't recruit children of Scientologists when they get to like 10 or 12 or whatever age it is now. You just can't have a child born into the Sea organization.
Right. And Mike, we should also add that when Scientology parents do turn their children over to the Sea organization, they sign over all their parental rights to the Sea organization and to the Church of Scientology.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Right.
And, you know, we've talked before about the idea that Scientology and their numbers – yeah. You know, they worry about their numbers from the perspective of their PR. So they worry about being able to put out bullshit numbers. What they really are concerned about is keeping the people that they've got happy.
Sure.
And keeping them in the fold.
Yes. And milking them for whatever they have. And Scientologists, you know, whale Scientologists, you know, are giving over 10 20, 50, $100 million over to Scientology for Scientology's front groups that do nothing. It drives me insane the amount of money that I've given to them, you know, thinking I was doing good. And, you know, what they're concerned with Scientology is infiltrating, you know, legitimate organizations, legitimate churches, legitimate charities that are doing the work. Just they're really consumed with just their appearance and infiltrating the bigger picture to be seen and recognized as a bona fide respectable religion, just like any other religion, which is fine with me and you, Mike. And I think we've said this many times, they could be a religion all day. They should just not have tax exemption,
and they shouldn't be abusing people.
Well, yes, that's the reason why they shouldn't have tax exemption. And, yeah, so that's the answer. Oh, the other thing that I want to ask you, Mike, is when do you think the numbers, because I do remember a time in Scientology where there were a lot of people in Scientology, in the course rooms, in the buildings, but what do you think was the biggest? Because, you know, the numbers are, what, 40,000, you think, worldwide, including staff?
I think it's less than that now.
Yeah, I'm being
I think it's between 20 and 25,000 now.
Worldwide, everyone.
Worldwide.
Yeah. Yes. Now, why do you think, what do you think the biggest decline in Scientology numbers it was due to?
The internet.
Right.
Absolutely.
Right. Yeah.
And that really started in the, really in the late 80s and into the early 90s.
Yeah.
And Scientology got its start on the internet war of exposing the truth about Scientology with its efforts to suppress, or I should say our efforts, because I was there at the time,
right,
to suppress the people who were posting confidential Scientology materials on the internet and bringing lawsuits against them. And that was at the insistence of David Miscavige, who was responsible for maintaining the copyrights and intellectual property rights of Scientology materials, including the upper level materials. Uh-huh. So he decided that these people needed to be sued, and that was the start of the end.
Right.
Because those lawsuits brought about a great deal of attention. They dragged in like the Electronic Freedom Foundation, and various other free speech groups, and the fledgling world of Anonymous.
Uh-huh.
And then ultimately Anonymous really got on a roll about that. And that started to change the perception of the world of Scientology. Right. You know, it really made information more accessible. It sort of moved away from, here's a secretive organization that you can't find out a whole lot about unless you go to the National Archives and read old newspaper clippings.
Right.
Now, all those old newspaper clippings, the old, you know, the prosecution of the leaders of Scientology in Washington, D.C. by the Department of Justice, all of that stuff became accessible and available to people generally. And as the internet has grown, more and more people have more and more access, and there is more and more information. And nowadays, you know, people just don't do things without Googling it.
Right.
And the minute you Google Scientology, no matter how many times they buy ads, which they do routinely, to sit at the top of Google searches.
Yeah.
Anybody that does a Google search these days doesn't, like, if I Google something, I ignore anything that says paid ad
at
the top, that shows up at the top. I just don't even look at it.
Right.
So basically, that has been, in my view, the end of the ascension of Scientology and into a continuous decline.
Right. And it's going to continue in that manner, because people are just, you know, our children now are not susceptible. The data is available to them. Knowledge is available to them. And, you know, that's the good news, you know, is that, I mean, listen, and also to people who say, well, okay, so what do you say to those who are in Scientology? Because look, the internet was available to me when I was in Scientology. And, you know, the second part of that, everybody, is I think Lawrence Wright said it, is a prison of belief, right?
Where
you might have access to the internet, which I did as a civilian Scientologist.
Right.
But I was taught, I was raised to believe that if you, like, when I would go into Scientology, and you have to go in every day, right? My handlers would say, you know, if I said, hey, I saw this thing you guys put out about Mike Rinder, I think it's really fucked up. You know, this guy was in the Sea Org most of his life. Like, why? You know, they wouldn't sit there and, you know, start out their attack on me. It would start out with, you know, me talking to us. I'm talking to my spiritual advisor, right? And my spiritual advisor is saying, honey, why would you look at things, you know, and people that are attacking your church? Like, why would you go out of your way to do something like that with somebody who's trying to hurt your religious beliefs and attack your religious beliefs? Like, why would you do that with your time? You know, that's how it starts. It's not like, you fucking dumb twat. Why would you, you know?
Right.
It doesn't start.
And then they pull out the LRH. And
then they
say,
pull out,
look
yes.
what Ron, look what LRH says. He says that those people all have big sordid crimes and
they're evil. And let me show you Mike Rinder. This is true. Look, L. Ron Hubbard says anyone who attacks Scientology has crimes that they could be put in prison for. And look, let us show you a confidential session that Mike Rinder did where he admitted to purposely wanting to hurt David Miscavige, the leader of your church. Look, he confessed it right here. And so isn't that true, Leah, that Mike Rinder and anybody who has left and is publicly speaking out is in fact a criminal?
And are motivated by evil intentions to try and trick you into believing that terrible things are happening when they aren't really.
Right. And
yeah, I've done it 1,000 times.
And me too. And not only has it been done to me, I've said it.
Right.
I've said it to other parishioners who were thinking about leaving or looking on the internet.
Right.
And by the way, you're charged a hefty price for this interrogation, and then you're made to make amends for looking on the internet. So over time, you just learn not to do it. Because if you're doing that, it's like this. It's like the way I feel about relationships. Like if you're hiring a private investigator, if you're looking at your mate's phone and need a tracking device on your, you know, person's phone, like, you know, it's already kind of broken, right? Like, so, you know what I mean? So it's like that. It's the way I look at it, right? It was like that really, I was like, look, if I'm not ready to leave Scientology, I'm not looking on the fucking internet. I'm either here 100% abiding by the rules of Scientology, or I need to get the fuck out. And I was not ready to get the fuck out.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That actually, Leah, you just said something that isn't articulated often.
Mm-hmm.
This idea that even the process of getting out is an all or nothing leap.
Yeah.
Like as long as you're in, you're not going to read or buy or accept any of this stuff. You have got to make the decision. I'm out.
Right.
And only once you've made that decision are you actually willing to look.
Right.
It's like
because look, could my husband sit around and point out all the things? Like, yes, you have a great case, Angelo. I don't do this. I don't do that. I should be more loving. I should be giving blowjobs. I should be doing more for you as your wife, but I'm not. So either find something good about me and get in it, or you gotta be done, because you can make a case against. Or four, right? Like,
right.
And you just got to be.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Yeah, you can't be like, you know, halfway, especially in Scientology. All right.
Right. There is a question here that I thought, oh, this is interesting.
Okay.
And it says, what's your take on famous Scientologists launching their own business product lines? A specific example might be Laura Prepon's Prepon Kitchen.
Yeah.
While her product line might be fantastic, if she still engages in Scientology courses, then vast sums of the profits and her personal wealth could well find their way to the church, much like Leah's salary as an actor did previously. Okay. Yeah. This is a great point. And I got interested in this because I happened to see Laura Prepon on Drew Barrymore two days ago.
Yeah.
And she was there pitching her new line of kitchen products.
Okay.
Prepon Kitchen.
Okay.
And I thought, okay, this is interesting. And then I saw this question. I went, well, it's sort of inevitable that any Scientologist or at least any good Scientologist is going to give a good portion of whatever money they have to Scientology.
Mm-hmm.
There is no question that by supporting ABC Mouse with their educational programs, the money that you are paying for that subscription, a percentage of that is ending up in Scientology. And the same with going to a Tom Cruise movie.
Sure.
The same with buying I don't even know, a Laura Prepon.
Yeah.
Or anything.
Yeah.
So the question becomes, and Michael Roberts says at the end, you know, so should people boycott such things because ultimately they contribute to human rights infringements and all other dark endeavors of the church?
Mm-hmm.
My view on this is that's completely a personal choice. Should you boycott something? I don't know. I do not. I'm never going to go buy Laura Prepon's Prepon Kitchen. And if I have a choice of movies to watch, I'm not going to watch a Tom Cruise movie.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to buy ABC Mouse. But I don't think that the impact on those people comes through boycotting or trying to hit them in their pocketbook. That's a Scientology trick that they try and do and have tried to do on us.
Mm-hmm.
But
right.
I think that constantly raising and exposing and insisting that the media and others in positions ask them the hard questions, just mm-hmm. like Yashar was talking about, like, when these people get interviewed, when Drew Barrymore has got Laura Prepon on talking about her, you know, cookware, uh-huh. she should be asking her, so what about the allegations okay. or what about the look, abuses in Scientology?
I just disagree with you on this point.
Yeah.
Drew Barrymore does an entertainment soft show. I just think it's inappropriate to ask somebody like Drew Barrymore, who's doing a talk show, who's hoping to have fun, who's hoping to move, you know, the needle Good. In a more positive direction. And the second part is this, Mike. As an actress, as a performer, I'm not going to put up with a bunch of fucking bullshit from... You know, for example, I was doing when I was promoting the People Puzzler and our podcast, I was supposed to do I did Wendy Williams as part of my thing. Right. You know, I had a whole list of, you know, outlets that I was going to do and talking to the producers before the show. They go, we want to talk to you about, you know, your friend Jennifer. And I said, well, you know, you could bring it up, but it would be really stupid. I'm not going to talk about my friend's personal life. And they said, well, she'll bring it up. And I go, and then I'll fucking hang up. I mean, I said, you know, I'm kind of tired of playing these games. You know what I mean? Like, you're not brave for asking the question, just so you know. You don't seem like the brave motherfucker on the scene asking me about my friend's personal life. And if I was a Scientologist or Catholic or Jew, I mean, not that I'm putting Scientology in the same thing, but what I'm saying is if I baptize my daughter and they go, oh, we're going to talk about, you know, now you've maybe joined another cult or what do you think about the Catholic Church and you know, people coming out, how many abuse cases have been coming up? But, you know, I'm there to talk about the fucking People Puzzler. And now you want to bring me to, like, I'm not talking about, it's really not the context. It's not the place for it. It's also putting you on the spot. If I'm out there promoting, you know, the aftermath, that's different. We're talking about the subject. We're talking about serious shit. And yes, let's throw in some fun stuff about my daughter, my husband, whatever. You have a right to say, we're not talking about it.
Good.
I think 100%
agree with you.
Okay.
I 100% agree with you. And I want to take back what I said. It was a bad example to use Drew.
So who do you think?
And I just want to say,
yeah,
I adore Drew Barrymore.
No, I know this wasn't it. Look, it could be her.
Amazing.
It could be Ellen DeGeneres. It could be. These are not the shows that really.
I understand.
Yeah.
Now, I understand. But I also want to tell you know.
Yeah, go ahead.
The type of people that should be doing this is 60 Minutes.
Right.
Or even the Today Show.
The Today Show, 48 Hours. Going around
promoting.
Yes, 2020s. I agree.
Yeah.
And journalists. and journalists, you know, serious journalists, to ask, you know, fluffy jerk off fucking entertainment, writers to ask Tom Cruise the hard questions where they don't even know what the fuck they're talking about anyway. I would prefer right. them not to, because when yeah. they have tried, they've accepted some bullshit answers, and I go, I prefer you not. How about yeah. that? Because you're
100% agree.
You're pretend. You're front that you're being that journalist that has the balls to ask the question. You're a pussy, and the fact that you asked it and didn't really know the answer to follow up on it anyway just shows you're a fucking jerk off. And so, to me, I'd just rather you not. Like, don't even try.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So we've only got through two questions so far.
Well, I think this is right. Well, no, it's not just that we've gone through two questions, but here's what I want to say. Here's what I want to say. I do agree with you, Mike, that I don't think it would make a big impact that you're not buying Laura Prepon's fucking pans or whatever she's selling. That's probably not what she does, but anyway, let's pretend it was. Oh, okay. So
it's cookware.
Yeah. Okay. So I don't think it would make a huge impact, right? I don't think it'd make a huge impact, because I just think the majority of people that you have to really, this is really a conversation about core beliefs, right? It's really what you support and follow is about your personal core beliefs. If you're okay with a politician talking about grabbing pussies, disrespecting women, you know, attacking people once they no longer suit your needs, and I'm not judging. I know it sounds like I sound like this all the time, by the way, even when I'm pro somebody. So don't take this as an attack on you. I've had these conversations with my sister, who I love.
Right.
My point is, just tell me the truth. Those things don't matter to you.
Right.
Okay. What you're looking at, what is a core belief of my sister's, amongst other beautiful and great things, but that's just not that important to her. So she'll support that politician because they're good for the economy. And that's right. that on her scale of core beliefs, that's very high. It's higher than how you talk to women, that you are, you know, maybe certifiable, whatever. Okay. But again, not judging. You know, I've been friends, I've supported people that other people go, why would you be friends with somebody like that? Or why would you support somebody like that? And it really comes down to that, right?
Yes.
Like, I'm not supporting the person because I believe that they are not only part of, but they contribute to an abusive criminal organization. That's just me. That's one of my core beliefs.
Right.
But it wasn't, right? It wasn't 7 years ago, 8 years ago.
Yep.
Okay. So
exactly.
People change. Okay. So it's up to you. You want to support a crazy motherfucker involved in some crazy shit? That's on you. Go ahead, Mikey.
Oh, you can ask. You can pick the next one if you want.
Oh, okay. All right. So questions that have come to my mind as I have listened to your podcast. How do you ever trust people, and how do you reconnect with other members once you've left? So do you ever trust people, Mike?
Yeah.
You have? No, but not many. But not many. Do you think, coming from this place, right, because you have been taught to hate everybody in the world from Scientology teachings, that wasn't Scientology, right? Because this is a...
Yeah.
What Scientology teachings is called psychological warfare, where you dehumanize the other side, you trust no one that isn't a Scientologist, and you are taught to completely cut off and hate and go after your own loved ones if they have left. So you can't even trust your own mother and father, your own son and daughter in Scientology. When you leave,
right.
Mike, are you able to connect with people in a deep way and trust people?
It is a fascinating question, and I'm not sure that I have a really snappy answer to this, because I look and I go, there are certain people that I trust absolutely implicitly, but almost all of them are people who are formerly in Scientology.
Right.
Because I know that those people, the Mark and Claire Headleys of the world, and mm-hmm. you and others, will never betray me on the basis that I do what I do now.
Right.
And I have had a lot of people who have been sent in on me or Christy, who were spies from Scientology, who were seeking to gain information or influence or whatever. So there is certainly, in my view, I have a heightened sense of spidey sense, look out for the spies. And I think that that affects my willingness or ability to be very trusting. Although I've tried pretty hard to go, yeah, well, that's a really shitty way of living. I don't really want to be that person. I don't want to have that. Why am I letting Scientology's fair game tactics alter the way that I live my life or want to live my life? So I try not to.
No, you work very hard at that, Mike. You are very loving, but you're right. It's mostly with ex-Scientologists, right?
Yes.
But, well, why, it's very clear why, right? Like, we have been our spiritual advisors was Scientology, was L. Ron Hubbard, and they were also our primary caretakers. Two very, very dangerous and traumatizing things to happen, because some people just have, their caretakers abuse them or lie to them, which creates trauma, right?
Mm-hmm.
But to have two huge influences in your life being your spirituality and your upbringing caught up in lies, deceit, abuse is all trauma. So it makes sense why you would protect yourself from enduring any more pain and trauma.
Right.
I think on the other side, we learn so much hate. We've been lied to all of our lives that the pendulum swing goes too far with me. I've noticed that with both me and Valerie, because we work closely together every day, right? I mean, as for as street as I am and as smart as I seem sometimes, as far as like, oh, that's bullshit, I can catch people in lies and all that. So gullible. So trusting. You could just walk right up to me and go, hi. And I'm like, okay, here's my number. In a lot of ways. But now the saving grace, Mike, has been that I'm in the public eye.
Right.
But I would get really hurt left and right. Because it's almost like anybody who isn't a Scientologist is decent. And then we have found out that that is not true.
Right. Well, okay. So we've got sort of two ends of the spectrum, because I look at you and Val, and to some extent also Christy, and I go, God, I wish I could be more like you guys. Seriously.
No.
It's like how you have things in your life that you wish that you were better at?
Yes.
I just feel like I wish I could be better at that. And I'm like, I often say I'm a hardened criminal. Yeah. I was like, the hardcore inner beast of Scientology for so long that I recognize that I have this hardened criminal sort of shell, and I try and not demonstrate it as much as it might actually be present, but it's something that I look at with envy. I envy your gullibility, And I don't really mean gullibility.
No, I know what you mean. I know.
Your sensibility.
That we're open
your
to.
Your softness.
Yeah.
You're much softer than I am in many respects.
But we wish we had more of you, Mike, where we protected ourselves a little more, because it's not unfounded. And I know I'm always pushing these books on you, Mike, but did you ever read Waking the Tiger, Healing the Trauma?
Oh, gosh. I don't know. I'm not sure about that one. I've read a bunch of them, and I can't remember if that was one.
All right, that's fine.
Them.
That's fine. But I just want you to know that it's not something that you just concocted, right? It's not I know you're joking when you say you're hardened criminal, but it really is from the trauma that you received and the re-traumatization of that, of being hurt over and over again, you know, is a real thing, Mike. I mean, it's a real thing. And by the way, what we do, the shit that we do, where we're like, oh, you know, well, yes, everybody's family, come in, we'll give you the world, you know, and we invest ourselves in other people's lives 1,000% and then get hurt.
Yeah.
You know, that's also a trauma response. It's like feeling like we're not enough, so we have to overcompensate. We overexplain things. Like, I'm petrified of ever getting on a stand because I'm going to overexplain. I overexplain everything. I mean, if this podcast is not an example of that, and that is, again, a trauma response, is feeling like you have to overexplain everything, you know, and do too much for people who don't deserve it, is all part of the game.
Yeah, I hear you.
Anyway.
I hear you. Can you and Leah discuss race and Scientology? I remember reading a rumor about Will and Jada Smith being in Scientology, which I believe you confirmed was just a rumor, but that got me thinking. Scientology seems to be primarily white. For an organization that claims to have so many members all over the world, it seems it should be more diverse. Can you shed any light?
Go ahead.
Okay. I'll take the overview. You can talk about Will and Jada if you wish, but I'll take the overview of Scientology and its whiteness. Because I have covered this on my blog a few times, and fairly recently I posted a list of statements made by L. Ron Hubbard about, oh my God, everything. Black people, brown people, Chinese, Japanese, Jews, Arabs, like everything that isn't white bread, Caucasian, he had something nasty or negative to say about. And I don't believe that Scientologists generally are racists. It's just not something that I think is true to hold as a generality. However, I do think that Scientology as a subject, based on the writings of Hubbard, is 100% oriented toward middle-class white America.
Yeah.
That was his audience that he set out to capture. And it has remained that way. If you look at pictures of the crowds of Scientology events, which is the only place where you see pictures of a lot of Scientologists gathered together, there is hardly a non-white face among them.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
so go ahead.
I want to add to that, because racism has to do with who holds the power, right? And that is what racism is. It's having a majority in power, or having power and holding back another group. Yes, for the purpose of this conversation, listen, I'm not a scholar, right? I'm just telling you like my basic, like what I'm thinking as a person. This is how I feel as a person. You have to have the power, which has been white.
In the U.S.
Yes, has held the power.
Right.
And as a country, it is founded and has continued in its history to be racist. All right, that's just me. Okay, now, what Scientologists are and will continue to be is prejudiced. It doesn't matter who it is, what color of their skin, where they come from, what they give a fuck about is, do you have the money to pay for Scientology? And they don't give a fuck about the poor. They don't give a fuck about changing the system of racism. They don't give a shit about it. And neither do individual Scientologists. They don't give a shit about community, family, outside of their own interests. And therefore, they are 1,000,000% prejudiced.
100% agreed.
Okay.
I mean, I put this on my blog and I mention it often, but yeah, this condescending term that Scientologists have for non-Scientologists,
WOG,
is as disgusting in its context as the terms that are so taboo these days that we couldn't even say them on air.
Yeah.
To describe either black people or Jews or Polish people or whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever was the slur du jour, mm-hmm, that is Scientology. But Scientology doesn't just pick on one particular group or ethnicity.
Yeah.
It's everybody.
Yeah.
Everybody that isn't a Scientologist is a heathen.
And
is
poor. And if you're poor, if you're poor, the word that they use for anybody who's poor, anybody who can't make money, is called a degraded being. And when I have said to my spiritual, handler in Scientology, why do we do nothing for the community? Why do we do nothing? Why do we not give services away for free? Why do we not reach out to communities that could use our help? The answer is, we help the able.
Right.
So that says we are. So if you want to go back to racism and being prejudiced, they do have the power to change conditions in communities. In the world, they have the money, they have the resources, and they choose not to do it. They choose not to help.
Right.
So it's up for debate.
It comes up often that people say, what do they do with all these empty buildings that they buy? And
nothing.
Many, many people have commented saying, why aren't they helping the people
why?
Who
Ask them.
Don't
Ask
have
them.
Anywhere
Everybody,
why
feel
they-
free. Feel
yes,
free.
Please,
Ask
go
them.
Ahead.
We agree. Why the fuck not? Ask the IRS. Why do they have tax exemption if they do shit for anybody? Ask the fucking government. Sorry I'm cursing so much today, everybody. But by the way, for anybody who thinks they should tweet me about it, there's much, you know what should be offensive? Behavior. Not my mouth. Get over yourselves. The two people who want to go, I just can't with your mouth. Yeah, fuck yourself.
I love this show, but I just can't handle the curse words.
Then listen to something else.
That's exactly right.
And get offended by behavior in the world. Okay? Talk to that person who's maybe not cursing, but they're a fucking pedophile. Get angry about that.
There you
get
go.
Get angry about that. Okay.
Your turn.
Mike, do you want to answer this question? I don't know if it's a good, I think it is, but one day could you explain the ranks, brevet, and lanyards, clasp, tie colors, and patterns? It seems like a jungle to learn.
Yes. Happily.
Why? What is it?
Ranks and brevet.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. The C organization, which mm-hmm. is the the inner core of Scientology, is based on a bunch of shit from the Navy that Hubbard implemented because he was in the Navy in World War II. So he implemented a system in the C organization where you are recognized by being promoted in rank. And the ranks go from a petty officer to a chief petty officer to a midshipman, warrant officer, ensign, lieutenant, lieutenant commander, like up these ranks, and concurrent with your rank is the insignia that you wear. How many stripes you have on your sleeve when you are wearing your naval style uniforms in the Sea Org. How many,
but Mike, isn't it illegal to pretend to be in the military or an officer? I mean, isn't there?
Yeah. People keep bringing this up. They tweet about it and say, well, this is just stolen valor, which has sort of become a bit more of a thing, it seems, recently. Yeah. And honestly, Leah, I don't really understand whether it is or it isn't. I mean, Michael Jackson used to dress up in a kooky-looking military outfit, too. Was that stolen valor? I don't know. I just don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, I think people are very forgiving when it comes to artists and such, right? But this is a whole, it is, the appearance of this is very insidious, right? Is that they have the Sea organization and they represent the military and they dress in these uniforms, you know, especially to a young person like I was in Scientology and you, Mike, you know, this is very formidable, right? It's that's somebody who's an officer. That's somebody who's, you need to respect. That's high ranking, and you hear other people calling them sir, whether they're women or men. And it's really just about the appearance. Again, it's about, we are clearing the planet. We are serious. We are a paramilitary, whatever sect of Scientology. We run this shit.
Right.
And I think it's all just part of the whole mind game of Scientology. It's about the appearance of what it is.
Right. And what I will do, Leah, is I will put a little, there is a document that actually I found recently that lists out and shows what these ranks are in the Sea organization. And I'll put that on my blog and on the fairgamepodcast.com, and we'll sort of do it. But there is a word here that is included, which was brevet ranks.
Oh, brevet. Okay.
And that's a weird word. And what it is in the Sea organization.
Did I say it wrong?
No.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
I don't know. I don't know. But in the Sea organization, and I don't know if this is generally true or not, a brevet rank is a rank that comes along with your position in the organization. Like, you could be a toilet cleaner and a captain or a commander in the Sea organization, in theory.
You
could have a very, very high awarded rank for your service in the Sea organization and a very, very low position in the organization. And conversely, there were, for a long time, there were people who held very senior positions that had very low Sea Org ranks.
Right.
So people who were supposedly the boss of other people had a lower rank, so it got all confusing. So at one point, Hubbard said, okay, if you're a part of the senior echelon, you are automatically given a rank of commander or captain or whatever for the time that you hold that post.
Mm-hmm.
Or that position, and that is called a brevet rank.
All right, let me answer this. So Elizabeth, she asked, first, I've wondered what is daily life like for a regular Scientology practitioner? I listened to Oh No Ross and Carrie podcast series, so I wondered, I understand they're fairly relentless when getting people into church, but once you're in, what is life actually like? Right now, I go to work, I make dinner, take my daughter to whatever activity she's in that night, and on weekends, and we do a combination of soccer games, zoo, errands, relaxing. What would stay and what would go? Any of that. All of that would go. You would
That's
go
so
to
so funny
work.
That you said that, Leah. I was thinking the other day when we had a soccer game, we had a baseball game, we had a this, we had a that. I was thinking, God, what would life be like if I was still a Scientologist? Put aside Sea Org member.
Yep.
What would life be like? I wouldn't be able to actually do any of this shit.
None of it.
And
now,
not only would I not have the time,
yeah.
if I did, I would be accused of being a dilettante.
Dilettante. That's a Scientology word that basically means you're a loser. engaging in activities like making dinner for your family is a dilettante activity. Going to soccer games and all that, dilettante. You would be called a dilettante, and it's a negative. It is nasty. To be accused of being a dilettante is horrible. You just so. This is a great question because people, again, you know, they get confused about what is a civilian Scientologist and what is a Sea Org member. And also, as a civilian Scientologist, they just think, well, you know, so because she went second, a lot of religions, the stereotype is that the converts are the most hardcore and the cradle to grave are less so. Is there a Scientology equivalent of the cafeteria Catholic? Yes, you're called a dilettante, but unlike a cafeteria Catholic, right, your priest is not showing up at your house literally saying to you, unannounced, what the fuck are you doing? You get your fucking ass on course in the church right now. You missed your periods. You know, 9 to 12, 1 to 3:30, 3:30 to 6, 7 to 10, or all of those slots if you are not, let's say I'm on the King of Queens, right? I work for 8 months and then I have a couple months off, right? You don't think they told me I needed to be on course from 9 to midnight? Like they did. And I was. these things are not valued. And, you know, some of you don't know, like when I post things of like, look, I made dinner. Look, I made a lasagna. You know, remember, even though I was in, you know, not a Sea Org member, me being a mom and being a wife and making dinner for my family was not something that I was doing on a daily basis. It was not something that was commended by my friends who were Scientologists. So to me, I'm like, look at me. I'm just born. I'm just learning how to make food. And, you know, like, and look at us. We're having bagels every Sunday. Like, I know some people write like big fucking dealy. And I'm like, because this type of tradition, I wasn't able to do that when I was in Scientology. And so, yeah, you know, I'm old as fuck now, I'm 50, but you know, like I'm just kind of like starting to live my life the way, you know, I wish I had lived it, but you know, I didn't, I'm getting to do it now. And so listen, you know, I could either go, well, it's too late for me to be a mom, a better friend, a better sister, a better aunt, you know, it's never too late. So I'm doing it now. So you'll have to put up with my nonsense on my Instagram.
Well, I miss Sunday morning bagels.
I know.
I really do.
I know. It's like, a beautiful, like we have lox and then my brother-in-law, my ex-brother-in-law comes over. He started the thing, the tradition, yeah. and it's a beautiful thing. Like my mother comes over, my stepfather comes over, and then they all start drinking and then we play games. And it's something that we just never got to do as a family. Yeah. You know, and you're doing that, Mike, you know, you're doing that with your sons and with Christy. And it's, you know, listen, you don't need to just have, you don't need to have come out of a cult to kind of start to just live the life that you want to live, you know? Anyway, I hope I answered that.
Well, I think so.
Okay. Here's another question by Danielle R. So she lives in a city that used to, So she lived in a city that had a Delphi school that now has been rebranded to the Da Vinci Academy. And on the website, they make no mention of Scientology. Is the purpose of these schools to lure unsuspecting future Scientologists? Yes.
Yes.
To further, she asked, to educate current Scientologist children. Yes.
Yes.
And why do they make such an effort to hide the association?
Google.
Because people like you will go, not sending my kid there. That's right. Why. And that's why exactly do they right. rebrand frequently if the mission is the same? Well, their mission isn't to educate your child. Their mission isn't to help. Their mission is to convert 80% of the world's population to be Scientologists.
Well, I would refine the Delphian school mission to be to groom Sea Org members.
Yes.
Because at this point, the Delphian School is about the only source of recruits for the Sea Organization.
Yeah, because it's Scientology children who are trying to.
It's children of Scientologists, and the Delphian schools, I know from Christy, who went to a Delphian school and got recruited at a Delphian school into the Sea Organization, that the Sea Organization sends people to these schools to begin indoctrinating these children into the idea that they are going to join the Sea Org very, very young, and then pluck them one by one as they reach the age where they can read and write, so that the Sea Org doesn't have to teach them how to read and write.
Right.
And it is absolutely the single largest source of recruits for the Sea Organization today. Outside of flying in the people from
out of the country,
impoverished South American countries or Eastern Europe or wherever.
And then the last part of her question is, what is the purpose of all the charity front groups and this one? And to infiltrate, to have a front group that is claiming to be like one of the big ones is Narcanon, right? Claiming to have a crazy success rate, like 91% success rate of getting people off of drugs and alcohol. And if that were true, it would be a government program. No program could ever say those numbers. Believe me, I wish it were true, but it isn't. And the Stand League. And it's pretending to be a group that is protecting the religious beliefs of others, their First Amendment rights. And the purpose of that is so that the purpose of the Stand League is to attack people who are speaking the truth about Scientology, and then to run around to the rest of the world going, hey, hey, look at us. We just tweeted about, the Holocaust. We're not just here to abuse people and to silence people and to, hopefully silence and tamper with witnesses in current cases against Scientology. We here for the people should be able to have their religious beliefs. That's the purpose of it, to have these front groups so that they're not what it's called is a false flag. You should look it up. It's under psychological warfare. And that's what Scientology is engaged in, putting up false flags that they are pretending to be
normal.
No, yeah, normal, but also, advocates, right?
Right.
But really, they are the doers of the things that we are advocating against. It's just insane.
I know. The weirdest stuff about that Stand League is their constant, we decry anti-Semitism. Uh-huh. We are standing on the rooftops complaining about anti-Semitism and meanwhile supporting Tony Mahabit and the Nation of Islam.
Yes, and Farrakhan.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's like, and that doesn't ever get mentioned.
I know. And it's again, we get back to core beliefs, right?
Right.
Because if you say anything about the Nation of Islam or you like we're doing now, right, then you're supposedly against black people. Okay?
Right.
Not falling for it. Not falling for it.
Exactly.
Like, have a fucking real core belief. If you can stand up and listen to that rhetoric and the horrible things that come out of this person's mouth and say that you are, like, anyway, don't get me started because we don't have the time for this, but I'm calling bullshit on it.
Yep.
So to finish that question, Mike, can you list the front groups on your website?
Yes, I think
Jeffrey Augustine has done an extensive research on this as well. The front groups of Scientology, because somebody asked about another front group, Landmark Forum Education. Do they have ties to Scientology? And I don't know.
Well, that's a slightly different than a front group. Landmark does, because Landmark is an offshoot of EST.
Okay.
And EST was started by a guy called Werner Erhard, who was originally trained as a Scientologist. And he split off from Scientology.
Okay,
and
so
Hubbard
that
declared him a squirrel.
Oh, I see. Like, so he was an enemy to Scientology because he was.
Yes.
Okay, got you. All right. So, yeah, so Landmark is okay?
No, they're not.
Oh, okay.
They're terrible.
Okay. All right. So anyway, Mike, you'll add those front groups onto your and then link it also to the Scientology Money Project from Jeffrey Augustine, because I think that's a great
Absolutely.
A great website. Okay, I think that's all the time that we have, unless you
want to. I just got one more. I want to do a funny one.
Okay, go ahead.
I just want to do the funny one. Mm. Did anyone ask L. Ron Hubbard to move an object with his mind? Aren't Scientologists supposed to be able to do this once through the last session?
Yeah.
And that is actually a fabulous question.
Yeah.
Because, oddly, it's
yeah. You know
humorous,
why? Because
but it's fabulous.
Because Scientologists are raised to believe that you are going to have special powers, that you are going to be able to move freely in and out of your body, that you can move the physical universe, that you can, you know, and listen, I wasn't into any of that shit. There's, you know, that wasn't what I was aspiring to. You know, I don't really know what I was aspiring to because I was never really becoming a better person. I was becoming an abusive, horrible, hateful person inside. That is what they create in Scientology. But yeah, and I think people were really disappointed to find out that he didn't have those powers. No, L. Ron Hubbard couldn't move a fucking damn thing.
Oh, he couldn't even move his own body out of his trailer at the end of his life.
Right.
I mean,
but, yeah.
And funnily enough, Hubbard came up with the answer to prevent people from asking him about
what was that?
He said, we don't engage in politics.
Tricks. Right. I remember that. So I could do it. So I could do it. I just don't want to do it. I don't want to be made. Yes, exactly.
I don't want to be made into a circus.
I don't
want
to be able to prove that. I remember, Mike, I was sitting in a hotel room with a celebrity, and she was asking an OT8, who was a friend of my mother's, whom I loved very much. Her name was Wendy Ettrix. I don't know if you knew Wendy.
Oh, I know. She died terribly in a motel after being abandoned when she could no longer make money for Scientology.
And do you know that she called my mother? Who we were very close to Wendy, and I know it broke her heart to have disconnected from us. And my mother had no idea that Wendy was sick because, of course, Wendy had to disconnect from us when we publicly left Scientology. But my mother saw that Wendy had called her and she had a missed call. So all I can imagine, Mike, is that there was Wendy in a seedy motel room having been deserted by a church that she dedicated her life to, right?
Yep.
Alone. And she must have thought, my God, what did I do? And I want to call my only real friend, which is Vicky. And my mother missed her call and she passed away. And, you know, I know this is not just about Scientology. I always want to open it up. It's like, guys, love the family you have. Fight for the family that you have. Be good to people who are good to you, and let go of this kind of restrictive thinking that you can't talk. You can do whatever the fuck you want.
But wait,
anyway,
what happened? What happened when she asked?
She said to Wendy, because they were trying to recruit her hard. Tommy Davis and Jessica Feshbach were hunting this girl down. Somehow they got her to Celebrity Center. And they asked us to come up just to say hello to her. You know, basically they were parading us around, right? And me and Wendy were like outside, you know, having coffee and smoking. And we went upstairs to say hello. And she said to Wendy, like, oh, where are you on this bridge, you know, in Scientology? Wendy said, rightfully so, she's at the highest point you could reach in Scientology, right?
Yep.
And she says, well, can you move that glass? And Wendy goes, yes, I can. She goes, can you? And I go, can you?
She walked over and picked it up.
Picked it up and fucking moved it. I fell off my chair. But I just, like, it was, it, It's so true that people really believe this. They really believe, and God bless them. They want, you know, my stepfather still believes in the concepts in Scientology because he doesn't want to believe. And this goes beyond Scientology again. This is it, kid.
Right.
Who wants to believe that?
Of course.
Because then you're responsible to stop being a fucking asshole this life and start doing the work this lifetime. Being a good person matters now. Being a good parent matters now. Being a good friend matters now.
Yep.
No matter what you believe, we should. But I feel horrible for people like my stepfather who believes in these things because he can't accept this is it. This might be it, right?
Yep.
And that's what keeps people in this type of thinking.
Yes, I agree with you 100%.
Anyway, guys, I'm sorry for all the cursing. Maybe, listen, I could see our producer. Maybe you want to bleep some of them out. No, she's saying no.
Nah.
Sorry, guys.
Don't bother.
All right.
This is what it is.
This is what it is.
Raw and, listen, and unfiltered. Leah Remini.
Exactly.
She talks too much. She curses too much. She's too nasty. Whatever. Yeah. You don't like it, go listen to another podcast because we love it.
thank you, Mike. And thank you to the producer who's giving us a thumbs up. Thank you for that. All right.
And
everybody,
we didn't even get through half the damn questions.
No,
as
because
usual.
Listen, this is no. Listen, now I'm going to defend us. Okay. Here's the thing, everybody. As you can hear, there's so many layers to the lies, deceit, and insidiousness of Scientology. We're not just talking about something like, hey, what do we like? California, New York. I like the pizza in New York. I like the people in New York, but I like the weather in California. Okay. This is a very serious subject that needs unraveling. That's why we did a show for 3 seasons. That's why we have a podcast. That's why we have blogs. That's why every ex-member of Scientology who's in the business exposing Scientology does this work. Because it needs explaining over and over again, and it's not an easy subject to just kind of say yes or no.
Yeah, exactly.
So sorry, but anyway, again, thank you so much for listening. And until next time, love you, Mikey.
Love you, Lily. Bye-bye.
Bye, everybody.